Great hustle.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Yeah, what's up, everybody? This is episode 510 of the Two Dumb Yinzers. How you doing this morning, Mike?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm feeling a whole lot better, man. I have a voice.
What did
As
you
opposed
do?
To the past 3 weeks, this is great.
I'd seen you briefly this morning, and you sounded like your throat was full of phlegm.
Yeah, it was bad this morning. I had a cup of coffee on the drive back to the studio. I had some water here, made some tea. It's feeling a whole lot better.
Yeah, a lot of time you drink something warm, you get that hot. It'll kind of take that the phlegm down.
Yeah, I noticed like hot or even like anything that had like cream or milk in it was helping soothe the vocal cords.
Yeah, your vocal cords have to be soothed.
They do. They need soothed, man. Like this was like almost what a month of this nonsense. It feels like.
Yeah, I don't know. You have the immune system of a 2-month-old. I don't know
actually,
how it
no,
happened.
I have a really good immune system, but lately, man, this
you've
one
been
has just
sick
been
for
killing
a
me.
month. Everybody else has gone and went through it, and it lingers on with you. So I don't know what you're doing over there.
I don't know what's going on over here. I blame the kid. I'm blaming my child.
Derpy will be here. You know, Derpy. I get on and I see that he's not here. So I go over and I text him. I'm like, "Hey, man, you ready?" And he's like, "Oh, I'll be there." I'm wondering if maybe I should record my voice. So you know, he could set it on his phone as alarm as his alarm clock every morning. Derpy, wake up! Get your ass to the show. Come on,
Derpy, you know. Get here, buddy.
Derpy, you know the whole thing. I do got some things I want to talk to him about today. I was kind of suspicious that perhaps he would try to duck out today. And it's not even that bad. I want to talk to him about this whole Caitlin Clark story because he the Ohio State Buckeyes played them yesterday.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think Derpy cared twice about the Ohio State Buckeyes girls basketball team. Good morning, Derpy.
Good morning.
And he was pretty upset. I mean, the whole way through the game, I keep getting all these texts, and I'm thinking to myself, "All right, well, I didn't even, you know, really care about women's basketball to begin with." But he was in rare form.
A lot of people were upset. It was quite funny to me.
What were they upset about?
She pulled the star moves. You know, you walk into someone, they push you, and you do the little, hey, and then they get the T. You know, that's smart play. You're a star. Use that to your
She's
advantage.
A spaz.
Jordan would do the same thing. He would push off of people, hit the game-winning shot. That should have been a foul on Jordan, but guess what? You're one of the greats. You get that call. You know, you get those calls. You know, Kobe did it. LeBron did it. Shaq did it. Kareem did it. Jordan or your Bird did it. They all do this stuff to get their calls.
All right, stop. What's going on? Is that me or is that Derpy?
That's got to be Derpy.
All right,
that's not me.
All right, so I got to know, Derpy, what was your big problem yesterday? What was going on with this basketball game?
Just the amount of flopping both teams had.
The thing was, I didn't see it, so it's hard for me to say. Mike, it sounds like you may have seen it and know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I seen, like, you know, Caitlin's running back to be with her teammates, and Ohio State player, like, cut her off. They bumped into each other. Caitlin, like, went like this and drew the call. Smart play.
Don't forget about that.
Then when they're down on the ground looking for the ball, Ohio State's, you know, stomping on her hand with their knees.
That should have been a T. That chick should have been thrown out.
You know what? They were
game, buddy.
Ohio State was just jealous that Caitlin Clark is 10 times better than that entire team, and they were taking out on her.
You're watching a different game.
I think you were watching a different game.
Derpy, what do you got to say, Mike? Derpy, what do you got to say about this? What's your opinion?
She won't do anything in the tournament.
Okay.
Because she's one player, like on that Iowa team. That Iowa team is not good. She is that entire team, Derpy. She is dragging that team into the tournament. She could have went to UConn and won 4 straight national championships, but she chose to go somewhere to make them a viable program.
I would agree.
So I'm looking
Maybe
back
I'm
here.
Just salty.
You are just all, and like, you know, some of those calls, they were cheap calls, but when you're that star player, you get those calls.
Yeah.
You're gonna get those calls no matter what.
I mean, besides for her scoring 35 points in this basketball game, another young lady scored 23 points. Another woman scored 12. Another woman scored 11. So, I mean, it is, you know, they apparently have a team. It's not just Caitlin Clark. I'm sure she does open it up for these other players, yeah, you know, great, big time. Greatly. The final count of this game, guys, was Iowa 93, Ohio State 83. Ohio State was number 2. Iowa was number 6. With this win, the Hawkeyes go to 28-4. The Buckeyes dropped 25-6. Derpy seems to think that this team isn't going to do anything in the playoffs, in the tournament. I'm sorry, Mike. What do you think?
Like when you're relying on just one player, if Caitlin Clark has a bad game, like we saw last year in the tournament against LSU, Iowa doesn't have the depth to take to, you know, to pick up that slack. So they'll go as far as Caitlin Clark can take them. Because she doesn't have that number 2. She doesn't have, like, you know, like when he had Shaq and Kobe, Jordan and Pippen, you had that other player that, you know, just take a little bit of pressure off of you. She doesn't have that.
That player doesn't always help, because if that player did always help, LeBron would have a lot more championships. Derpy says, here's the text that I'm getting throughout the course of the game. Derpy says, so first he was upset. He says, Caitlin Clark taking that L. So I'm at work and I see this, and I'm like, okay. And I kind of check the score and I see what's going on. So like, I'm all right, Derpy's rooting on his team. And I just wrote back. I was like, Clark is a beast. He says, yeah, but you're not watching the game. You're sticking with the narrative. Ohio State is the one killing themselves. Plus the soft bias calls Iowa is getting because it's home. Clark is a spaz, cries about everything. Is that what it is, Derpy? Are you just sour?
It's a mixture.
Yeah.
He's salty.
I mean, the thing is, you know, she's obviously good enough. She's scored more points.
She is good enough.
He scored more points than anybody in the history of the NCAA men or women passing Pistol Pete Maravich this weekend. So, I mean, she's obviously doing something right. She's obviously good enough. She's, you know, so I'm just wondering if that's what it is, if it's just because it's your team. If you were watching this game and it wasn't Ohio State and things played out the way they played out, would you still have the same opinion?
Probably not.
Trying to get a real feel for what Derpy's saying. And the thing is, I do respect what Derpy says. That's why I ask and I inquire, and I'm trying to find out. That's all.
And Derpy's just salty.
You're just bald, too.
You guys are both true. You guys are both correct.
And Derpy got to go with the ad hominem attacks because he can't defend his argument.
Yeah, man. He stole a page right out of your book. Caitlin Clark, she did become the first player in Big Ten women's basketball to reach 500 three-pointers in a season, or, you know, 500 three-pointers. She also, guys, declared that she is going to be joining and entering the WNBA draft this year, and in the Indiana Fever are happy as hell. I know those.
Oh, hell yeah, they are. She's going first overall.
Well, if she acts like she did yesterday, she won't do anything in the WNBA.
Derpy is salty.
I mean, what did she do yesterday? She scored a bunch of points and won the basketball game.
Yeah.
And she learned to
flop. Well,
professional basketball ranks?
She got the calls, Derpy. You're right. She got the calls. It works, you know?
You know, this is what they do in professional basketball is flop and cry.
Draw the calls for your team any way you can. You know, you watch Jokic trying to get shooting fouls from his own half court, you know. Come on now. No one calls him out, but we're going to call Caitlin Clark out. Come on, Derpy.
A couple of things before we get started, everybody. This is 510, episode 510 of the Two Dime Yinzers. We did lose some people. The dominoes are falling, Mike. Last week, a couple wrestlers, they did pass away, and you wondered who was going to be next. Well, the weekend didn't get any easier in the sports world, at least. Chris Mortensen from ESPN passed away, which was a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, I came out of nowhere. I knew he wasn't doing well health-wise, but, you know, I knew he was still involved with behind-the-scenes stuff. That was a shocker.
Ed Ott, the former World Series winning Pittsburgh Pirate catcher, passes away over the weekend at age 72. And finally, Andy Russell at the beginning of the weekend.
Yeah.
Andy Russell, guys.
Andy, he played on. He played on. He was like the what one of two carryovers from like the pre Chuck Knoll teams, those terrible teams to win a Super Bowl.
You know, I gotta say, they with this world, the Super Bowl team, everyone seems like they're such surprise and they're so in awe every time somebody passes away. They're becoming old men. Well,
they're old.
You know, I mean, the dude was in his 70s, and you know, people, you know, I know when Franco Harris passed away, we're so surprised. But that's just something we have to, you know, you got to accept.
Yeah, that's
life.
People
are going to be, these guys are going to be dying soon. And
in the amount of what they did to their bodies in the 70s, right. Not having like the nutrition and the workout programs that the players have now. Yeah, their life expectancy is not that long. And, you know, they're just naturally getting older too. You know? It sucks.
Yeah.
Although, except for Mel Blunt. Mel Blunt looks like he can still strap it up and play a couple games.
There's still some of them guys that do look very young. But on the other hand, I mean, I can see Terry Bradshaw being, you know, come on. He's not a young man anymore. You can see him being next. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you know, people are going to be up, you know, going crazy because it's Terry Bradshaw. But at the end of the day, these guys are, they're old men.
It sucks. You know, your heroes end up, you know, aging and passing on. It still sucks, but, you know, it's inevitable.
Speaking of Caitlin Clark, guys, I did find this out over the weekend that in 1924, speaking of women, successful women in sports, in 1924, the 5% of the people that participated in the Olympics were women. Now, guys, here we are in 2024, 50%.
Damn.
50% of the people that are participating in the Olympics are women. Awesome.
And they're all more athletic than me.
Well,
that just goes without saying. I just like the guys that are like, oh yeah, I can beat Caitlin Clark 1-on-1. I played in high school.
Ain't no way.
She's shooting first, you're not getting the ball back.
So I wanted to use this as a segue to this next story. This Gabriel Ludwig. Anybody see this Gabriel Ludwig? Santa Clara, California Community College. Gabriel Ludwig, a biological man born Robert John Ludwig, ex-Navy soldier, declared himself a woman in his 40s, measuring 6'8", weighing 220, and covered in naval tattoos. Gabriel Ludwig caused a huge stir because he identified as a woman, is now playing on the Santa Clara, California Community College basketball team, guys.
Is he going through a true transition? If so, okay, because you're eventually, once you get on the hormones, you're gonna, within 6 months, you're gonna lose all that testosterone. It's gonna balance out.
He's a pretty big chick, I can tell you that. 6'8", 220.
Like, now if he's truly going through it, I have no problem with that. But if he's just doing it to try to, you know, get some glory, that's where I have an issue.
Well, geez,
Yeah, no, like people that are going through.
Where's all the tiny
no
chicks? Where's all the tiny guys that want to be basketball players that are going to switch over?
Like, I mean, you see that like a lot. Like, we had that country 2 years ago, that the one who transitioned became a swimmer, won a gold medal. Then after that, fell back to the middle of the pack where she was pre-transition. So, and there's no outrage over that. It's like early on in the transition, you have the advantage because you still have all that testosterone. But once you go through the transition,
are these women being slighted at Santa Clara Community College because this 6'8" man, transitioning or not, is a freaking beast. I mean, this looks like somebody you don't want to run into in the battlefield.
If they're truly transitioning, I'm all for it. But if this is just someone trying to relive some glory, you're ruining it for a whole segment of society. Get the hell out.
And I'm not gonna lie, I would watch this Gabriel Ludwig play against, you know, girls, but not because I thought it was fair.
Yeah. You know?
Also, Mike, before we do get started, Casey White, if you remember this story, Casey White, she was the chick that, or the dude and the chick that, with the police officer that let the guy go. They escaped together. They run the run together, and he killed himself. You remember the story. We talked about it on the show.
I didn't see this.
Well, you can now catch up on it, Derby, because on CW, and I can't tell by what I had read if it's like a series or it's just one particular episode talking about them. But on CW, guys, you could find this special on Casey White. I think I'm going to have to watch this, Mike, because we did talk about this somewhat extensively on the show. And it was really interesting, actually. Do you remember this, Derpy?
No.
Like, we covered this Derpy. We're,
it might have been before. It might have been before.
This
Derpy,
was a
though.
BD before Derpy.
Yeah, it was BD. And speaking of BD, I hear the
fire alarm.
The fire alarm's back.
I'm about to mute you, Derpy.
No, we're not gonna mute Derpy. I like listen, but she was a guard at a prison. She fell in love with this prisoner.
How about that?
Busts her out. They go on the run. He ends up killing himself. I think did they get her, Mike, or did she kill herself too? I don't remember.
I can't remember. Was it a murder suicide?
I don't know.
I can't remember. It you know, we talked about it for like 2 weeks, and I can't remember.
I thought he killed himself, or I thought he killed himself, and she was still alive. But
I was thinking it was something like that.
But
I'm too lazy to look it up.
I am going to continue to look into it because I am going to watch. I thought it was kind of fascinating what went down with that whole story, and just the fact that I mean, there's crazy shit to go on all the time, and the fact that you know this one hit the national news. You know, you see, again, here in our community or county. I see crazy shit that could probably be on the news all the time and read of stuff that can. And the fact that this made it. So I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to see what went on with that. P, what's going on? Good morning, P, on the board.
What do you say?
I do want to just kind of breeze over the Columbine briefly, guys. I was talking to Mike the other day. I was watching the DBs play.
Oh.
And man, it is really obvious why the DBs are DBs and not WRs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shit you not, I'm watching one of these drills and six guys in a row dropped the pass. It was where they were running. They turned
the gauntlet,
their hips one
baby.
Way.
The gauntlet.
Their
is the,
hips the other way, turn their hips back this way. And then they turn around and ran to the guy who was throwing them the ball. Six guys in a row dropped that pass. Even if you aren't a receiver and you're a DB and you're not expected to catch everything, it looked very bad. I got to admit that it looked real bad.
They went to the Ike Taylor school.
It was
DB.
Yeah.
I'll shut you down. I'll drop all the interceptions, but you're not getting a touchdown against me.
You can't get one of these guys that could catch, man. What an amazing football player they would be. But it was wild. It was really weird to see a lot of things like this caught my attention from the combine. A lot of the mistakes, you think that, you know, guys would be I don't recall this before. I remember guys playing at their highest level, trying to look good and impress. And this year there was a lot of things that I just caught and I thought, wow.
Yeah, you got JJ McCarthy can't hit an out route. And they're still talking he might go top three now. I just because of how he tested athletically. You got wide receiver ran a 4.22.
Yeah.
And every receiver who's ran a sub 4.2 has been a bust. But I have a feeling if he gets drafted in like the third round, that's where he should be drafted. But I have a feeling by his 40 time, he's going to be a first round pick and not live up to the potential.
And go back to McCarthy. I think, that, you know, come on. This guy just didn't win. If they didn't win the championship in Michigan just this past year, I don't think that he's being mentioned nearly as much as he's being mentioned. But on the other hand, you always got to remember Michigan did spring forth a quarterback who wasn't expected to be much at one time as well. And boy, wouldn't that be shitty if everyone just laughs and passes
and
on
he
McCarthy
turns into that guy
and he becomes the next Tom Brady.
Like he's the kind of quarterback I'm taking in the second, third round, sitting him on the bench for 2 years, learn the offense, refine your mechanics, and let's see if we got something. I don't want to take a first round pick on him because I can, you know, that sets your franchise back 4 to 5 years. That's why a lot of these quarterbacks, man, I would take in the second. If I'm taking them in the first round, I'm sitting them, but all these teams don't have that luxury. They're all going to be pressed into start.
Follow the Packers.
Yeah,
wanna learn
exactly.
Want to learn how to do it right, look at how the Packers do it, you'll learn.
Yeah.
Let's get into some, I don't know, let's go Steelers first. Report Deontay Johnson could be traded, WPXI, Steelers Now, Steelers Nation, and amongst a bunch of other sources over the weekend. Said he's believed to be on the trading block if the price is right.
Yeah.
This is the exact move I think is what they should do. They should put him out there, see what's available, see what they could get for him, test the market ourselves, and let him see what he wants to do. If he wants to go somewhere else and make more money, I'd be fine with that, as we could also use him as a trade piece and make things happen and free up some money by way of him leaving. I am totally fine with that. But It's not going to be because Mike Evans is coming here.
No,
guys.
He just he reset the market.
Mike Evans said he wants to play somewhere where they have an elite quarterback. And Derpy, did he say he's going back to Tampa Bay?
He just signed a contract.
So he looks and sees Baker Mayfield and says, hey, here's an elite quarterback. I want to go play. I want to stay here and play with these guys.
Go play.
You know, if I was the Steelers, you know, we're in such a weird position with this quarterback situation, guys.
It's bad spot.
It is. Because how are you going to improve by bringing a receiver in to improve your game when the quarterback wants a better – or the receiver wants a better quarterback to throw to him, and you just – I don't know. We're in a weird spot. And say what you will, these two quarterbacks went 10-4 this past year, and, you know, we somehow think this is the end of the world. But there you have it, guys. This is where we're at. This is where we're at.
Yeah,
it doesn't
Mike
make
Evans,
a whole lot of sense.
Back at the 80s.
Yeah, Mike Evans just signed 2 years, $52 million.
So 25.
Like Deontay Johnson, like the Steelers say they want to build around Kenny. That's like, you know, we have faith in him. But yet we're going to trade one of our top receivers. Who are we going to get?
Who's going to get something better? I would be happy with that.
Who? There's no one better out there in free agency.
Somebody that doesn't run backwards. Somebody that doesn't run out of bounds every time. Somebody that doesn't have all these issues that we constantly complain about with Deontay Johnson.
You know, like, I don't know. He put up numbers when we had Mason Rudolph in there and Mitch Trubisky in there. And when
that's
we had
the main issue, though.
Like, we I don't trust any of our
the other guys
really.
The other guys put up numbers without them, too. I mean, the other guys, you know, this really isn't that. This is about Deontay.
But if they can if they can get a second round pick for him, I'll take it.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah. I'd be very happy with that. If we could get a second round pick.
He's affordable. His contract's going to only cost the team like $7 million. I think that's his base salary. Steelers trade him. I think they say there's going to be dead money, but I think we free up maybe like around like $8 to $10 million. So there's money there. Maybe you can go get a Tyler Boyd and then maybe get a receiver in the draft.
We would be so much better off with Tyler Boyd than Deontay Johnson.
But,
from what I've seen from both of them guys in my career,
we still need another receiver.
I would take Tyler Boyd in a heartbeat.
I would take Tyler Boyd, Deontay Johnson, and George Pickens. Well, Deontay and George on the outside,
that might
Tyler
not be
Boyd
the,
in the slot.
You know, that might not be the case because you might have to give up Deontay. But anyway, we will see, guys. He is on the trading block. Connecting back to the combine for just a moment, the Steelers avoided the two top centers in the combine. They got together with a bunch of guys, a bunch of interesting names, a bunch of guys you'd love to see in black and gold in the upcoming season, but they managed to they avoided the top two centers. Mm-hmm. Mike, you and I talked a little bit about this earlier in the weekend about, you know, what the Steelers can do to kind of improve things. And you know what? I think we might have hit it on the head. I said at one point, I said, let's get the center. You remember the conversation we had. I can't remember entirely what it was, but you said they might get a center in the
free agency
and then get a tackle in the draft, which seems more than likely now because, again, the fact that they didn't meet up with either one of these two guys
yeah.
was kind of a surprise to me.
That could also be a smokescreen, too, not tipping your hand towards the center. You have a feel because, you know, they still have pro days to go, official visits to go. So I don't put too much stock in who they met with. But I wouldn't surprise me if they go free agency for center because the tackle position is really deep. Center, you got like two guys that will start right away, maybe a third with Van Pran. So logically, it might make sense to go get a proven center in the draft, get yourself a tackle because you can still, in a pinch, start Dan Moore at right tackle, Brogic at left, bring your other tackle along slowly, put him in midseason and rock and roll from there.
Did anybody see Mims got hurt at the combine?
He got hurt.
Yeah. Mims. Something was leg, knee, something.
I knew he was a little banged up. I didn't know if he got hurt there. I know one of the top corners or receivers tweaked his hamstring running the 40.
So there you go. That guy's getting hurt in the combine.
That's why you don't work out. You do measurables and you do the interviews. You can hurt your draft stock by, you know, popping a hammy.
Yeah. But that's the game. That's what you're there for. That you're there to be a football player. So
Well, get my measurements, get my medical, and I'll see you at my pro day.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't draft you.
I'd draft me.
I wouldn't. You didn't participate.
Hey, like Caleb Williams said, I want a person 30 plus games. The film's out there, baby. The film's out there.
The film ain't shit sometimes. I want a person that participates. I want a person that shows them does their job. You know,
I'm not getting paid for this.
You're ultimately getting paid for this. Yes, you are. You become a millionaire. That yes, it's yes.
Look at my film. Film don't lie. You,
well, again, if the guy's stock drops, that's on them, and I wouldn't pick him either.
You're going
to
get the workout warriors that have terrible game film, and you're a draft bust.
You got to look at both. You have to look at the whole thing. You can't
look at the whole thing, but a lot of teams
can't look
are
at
stupid,
bits and
man.
Pieces. You can't
a lot
look
of teams are stupid.
And
they just
this is why people get busts, and this is why they get guys that don't work out. Also, guys, Cam and Connor Hayward give back to the Bethel Park community by pumping gas over the weekend for people in Bethel Park at a gas station. Nowhere in the article did I see that Cam or Connor Hayward paid for any of the gas for these people. What I got from this story was they were pumping gas for people at this particular gas station. There you go. Connor Hayward helping out, guys.
He's taking Big Brother's approach. Can't produce on the field, so we'll do some nice stuff off the field so people want to keep us around.
See, it's all part of the big picture. It's working for him. And he, you know, but as I said, I don't know, the helping in the community isn't really doing much for me right now because, again, I want my football team to be better, which he's a football player on, which he's part of this team. And if he would reconstruct his contract, the football team that I like, which is he just happens to be on, it's better, then I say, you know what, kudos for Cam Hayward.
Yeah.
The fact that he shows up at a random gas station in Bethel Park and pumps people's gas for them, probably just long enough to get the exposure to get spotted
get
and have a story written about him.
Yeah.
But as far as I know, he come on, you know, look how cheap he's been with his money. I don't see how they're giving him.
Yeah, it's all about the PR with the Haywards. Not about what they do on the field.
I don't know nothing about Connor. I know that Cam does this regularly.
He's showing his little brother how to be a Steeler for life.
Oh.
By pumping gas,
yeah.
AB. Someday I will marry my football. He says on X, formerly known as Twitter, in a tweet, quote, someday I will marry my, and there's a picture of a football, and underneath it says at Steelers best man.
This watching his cognitive decline is kind of sick and twisted, but also enjoyable at the same time. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
The guy's a retard, man.
He is.
Curse of Madden.
This dude has been a nutcase ever since college.
He's been a nutcase since Madden 19.
He gets to use CTE as an excuse for his poor behavior. I love it. That's why he went to the Central Michigan. That's why he was a 6th round draft pick. The dude had issues.
Exactly. He would be somewhere, you're right. He'd be at a way better college, being a way better pick. If he wasn't a fucking nut, he's retarded. I'm convinced Antonio Brown Derpy is going to be marrying his football someday. So there you go. A couple other things that I come past over the weekend. TJ Watt is the only player to average more than a sack a game. So, you know, say what you will about TJ Watt. When you're averaging more than a sack a game, and I can see if he was getting no tackles, no nothing else, but you got to keep in mind, during the course of this season, while he did average more than a sack a game, he did manage to get interceptions. He managed to, you know, he had a handful of tackles. He wasn't the greatest player, you know, greatest tackler as far as numbers goes. But at the end of the day, when you think about it, Derby, TJ Watt averages more than a sack a game.
The real question is how many pressures he got.
Right. Najee Harris was just one of five running backs to rush for over 1,000 yards in the 2022 and 2023 season. I'm really looking forward to this season, guys. The running game. I hope that Arthur Smith can come to town and build something here because we have a lot of pieces in place. We really do. You know,
there's a lot of good pieces to be excited about. It's just can the collective whole be better than the individual pieces?
Right.
Can they all like produce at the same time? Earlier in the year, the running game wasn't there.
Season.
Late in the year, it finally came on. Then we like the passing game went down for a couple games. It just all has to click at the same time.
You're right. But apparently we do have in place, though, guys, we have an A-graded coach at the top of this. So, I mean, we should have no problems. Everything else in our organization is shit, apparently.
Tomlin's holding together with a chicken wing or chicken right? wire and duct tape.
And, you know, I can't get over this grading, this list here. Guys, I just want to touch base on it one more time before we move forward. I swear I'll touch base on it. We'll never talk about it again. But the treatment of the families is an F minus. What are they doing? Come on. An F minus to me seems very extreme.
That is very
I mean,
extreme.
For treatment of family, what are they taking them hostage? Are they beating them? I don't get how you could even score an F minus on a treatment of families if it isn't the most dire of situations, right? I mean, F minus, you don't go lower than that. If something is bad where you're actually they're kidnapping your families and hurting them, that would fall under F minus. What's going on in the Steelers treatment of families, Mike, that they deserved an F minus?
I don't know, but I know like a lot of teams they dinged them for their like the family area where, you know, the families have to wait. Is it
they make them
before and after
mud?
Game? Like, is it like in poor condition or how, you know, are the seats conditions bad or, you know, hey, you know, childcare teams were charging players like $500 a kid to like for their daycare. You're a multi-billion organization. What's the kids for free? I understand why the Chargers did it because you had Cromartie and Philip Rivers with 45 kids between the two of them. That makes sense. But come on now. It's just how, like, especially with the Rooneys, bad family. But, you know, hey, this is the third generation owner son. So, you know, things are falling through the cracks.
Since last year, though,
Dan Rooney, he would try and fix this shit like that.
And since last year, we know that a lot of these grades were bad. I am remembering back to the same conversation. So with that being said, the nutritionist and the dietitian, they're D's. So this
those need to improve big time.
This didn't get improved over the past year.
No.
The locker room is an F.
Yeah. Like, I'm
again,
sorry.
What are they?
Kick Pitt out and take over their locker room. Expand the facility.
That's where, you know, there's so much more to this. Let's see, the training room, a D. You know, what are they making them on? Work on jungle gyms and monkey bars?
Probably like outdated equipment. No new equipment.
Team travel, D.
I've never seen this team miss a game.
I mean, what are they late? I mean, I like some explanation.
Plans, terrible hotels.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Nobody takes terrible plan. Listen, if I flew somewhere, I wouldn't take a terrible plan. How you get an F for your
a cheap owner, man? Spend it on the cheap.
The thing is, I need details. This is a very you know, for them to put these grades out and not have anything to it, it is very chintzy on one hand, because you'd like to think, find out what the hell's going on. And then at the end of the list here, Mike Tomlin gets an A. So I don't know. There you go. I'm done with this. I'm done with this till next year. I'm sure it's not going to get any better.
You got the cheapest owner in Pittsburgh who's glad that Bob Nutting's right next door to take the heat for being a cheap owner.
I don't know, man.
And like Rooney's comments, saying like, "Oh, I don't see any architects on this team." Like, way to like not be concerned with your employees, you know.
What does that mean? You don't have any architects on your team?
Yeah, asking about, hey, what can you do to upgrade, like, you know, the facility? He's like, I don't see any architects on this team. So he's like dismissing what his employees are saying about his organization.
Yeah,
so that's a poor owner. That's how a lot of businesses fail.
So it's okay for guys to partially participate in something that's going to affect their job in the future, but a guy making a comment saying he doesn't have any architects, where he doesn't have any architects on his team, is a bad thing.
Yeah, I want the owner I am working for right to care about what I say
you're
about my working conditions. Because if you don't like it, fine. Then if you don't want to listen to me, I'm going to go play somewhere else. I'm going to go work for someone
fine.
Else.
I just wanted to clear that up. P. Morton says maybe sometimes you got to kidnap the kids to go 10-4 with this 10-4 with this squad.
Yeah, you might have to.
Let's crack into the NFL a little bit, guys. We were talking Steelers. I do have some Steelers things that I. Or some NFL talk that I do want to go over today. I don't know if this Derby, maybe you could help me on this, but is it true? Is it true? I heard rumors, and I'm only accepting it as rumors at the time. I'm not taking it as the truth. But I heard this morning that Kelce and Taylor Swift, they haven't spoken a couple of days and are reported being close to a breakup from sources close to the couple. Derpy, do you know anything on this?
As the leader and head leader of the Taylor Swift fan club, I do not know on this.
Okay. I'm kind of keeping my eye on this because I was kind of suspicious that this was a fabricated relationship during the season to make money and ratings, but I'm just going to keep that to myself for now. I'm going to see and continue to watch this story and see if this is holds any substance or down the road holds any substance in the near future, because I think that could tell, speak volumes. But I did see that this morning that they were, they haven't spoken in a couple of days and possibly close to breaking up. So
I'm not seeing anything right now. I'm double checking.
Okay.
Right now, she's off doing her tour, and Jason yes. and Travis are in Philly doing some charity yes. work.
That's what I'd read as well.
Yeah.
I talked to you about this, Mike, over the weekend. Falcons more intrigued in Kirk Cousins than Justin Fields by a landslide. By a landslide.
By a landslide.
Now, as Mike and I were saying, Atlanta hasn't necessarily had great success with these athletic quarterbacks. You had the brand new car, the Michael Vick, the basically the front runner of this style. Some may argue Cordell Stewart, but I would say Mike Vick.
Mike Vick, big time.
And it didn't work out. Last year they went with their, you know, they picked a quarterback in a draft. Ridder didn't work out. But who works out for these guys, Mike? Who works out for the Atlanta Falcons? Matty Ice. Chris Chandler, these guys that aren't athletic quarterbacks are the ones that taken the Atlanta Falcons furthest in their team history at any point. So I'm wondering, you know, is this part of it as well? Let's just get a quarterback, get a pocket guy, get in there, somebody who can throw the ball around and, you know, let Justin Fields fall where he, you know, what do you think?
Well, what did they didn't win anything with any of those quarterbacks.
Well, they went
28-3 in the Super Bowl, and they collapsed with Matt.
I mean, that's
Ice.
Beside the point. Nobody else had got them to the big game.
Yeah, they as far as he got them, but they still can't. They can't get over the hump with any type of quarterback. I think that's just one of those organizations.
So the most success, but the point being the most successful.
Yeah, that's most successful with a pocket passer, but Kirk Cousins isn't going to get you that far either. He's not going to. He might get you that far, but he's not going to win you the game. He's proven it time and time again. He cannot win a big game to save his life. So either way, with any quarterback, you know. You're not going to win anything down there, but if Cousins, he's a safe quarterback, and in that offense with Bijan Robinson carrying the load at running back, you got Kyle Pitts, you got London at receiver. I would like Cousins down there a lot because he can play smart with those guys, not be turnover happy like Fields can tend to be turnover happy, just because like Cousins is a very accurate quarterback. Fields has struggled at times with his accuracy. At times he can pinpoint the ball, but he's very inconsistent as a passer. So the smart move for short
term. Cordell Stewart to me. Justin Fields is Cordell Stewart to me.
Yeah, like he wows you, but at the same time, he like frustrates you because you're like,
that was Cordell.
He can hit these amazing throws, but sometimes those easy throws that are there, the ball sails on him.
And I'm gonna go one further and compare him here. Not to Kirk Cousins, but to somebody that I think that would, you know, you would take either Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields over with Jimmy G. Guys, let me give you the overall stats of these two guys in their first 40 games. This is Justin Fields' first 40 games versus Jimmy G's first 37 games. Jimmy G, completion percentage, 67.5. Justin Fields, just 60.3. Jimmy G, 7,854 yards. Justin Fields, 6,604 yards, 674 yards. Now, mind you, this is Justin Fields' first 40 games versus Jimmy G's first 37. Pass yards per play, a little over 8 for Garoppolo, 7.0 for Fields. Pass yards per game, Jimmy Garoppolo, 212.3. Justin Fields, 166.9. Touchdowns, Garoppolo 50, Fields 40. Garoppolo threw 4 less interceptions than Justin Fields did in less period of time. The rating for Garoppolo is 99.1, and for Justin Fields, 82.3. In the areas that Fields did excel and was more than Jimmy G, were all rushing. In the rushing category, of course, Jimmy G is not a rushing quarterback at all, but he does lead him in rushing attempts, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, things like this, so forth. So somebody say, yeah, I would take Justin Fields over Jimmy G. Is that the case, Mike? I'm not seeing it. I'm seeing Cordell Stewart 2.0.
Yeah, where, you know, like we said, he'll wow you at times with these great throws.
How many times can you say over the past 3 years that Jimmy G wowed you?
None. Exactly. Jimmy G has never wowed me. He's only played 16 games one time in 2019.
Yeah, right.
Then 15 games in 2021 and 2022, 11. He never had like a full season.
Right.
And his numbers, like,
they're better than
on a whole look good, but some of them, like some of the seasons, they're not that great. Touchdown to interception, but his completion percentage is what, that's key right there. He's a career 67% passer, but he's another one of those guys. I like, is he going to get you over the hump? Is he going to get you where you need
Mike,
to be?
The 49ers basically just needed a guy back there. 49ers just needed a guy to stand back there and not make mistakes. Jimmy G had a hard time doing that.
Yes, yeah, that's the problem. That system is set up to where you don't need to make mistakes, and he wasn't that great out there.
That's what I'm saying. I don't. Yeah,
Who is Jimmy G? You know, like, he has a great completion percentage wherever he goes, but is it another one of those just safe throws, not willing to take the
shots? So for all
shots?
The people that are saying, all you got to do, it's not just easy as all you got to do, mm-hmm. is it? I mean, no. Between Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, and Jimmy Garoppolo, basically your three best free agents in this offseason, they're not very good.
No. No. Like...
So all
to me,
you
Baker
do,
Mayfield. To me, Baker Mayfield's the guy.
And me too. And they're going to sew him up so fast in Tampa Bay, ain't even funny.
Then that leaves Russell Wilson if and when he gets released by the Broncos.
Yeah.
And if he's truly willing to work for the vet minimum, the Steelers would be stupid not to just kick the tires.
Absolutely.
On him. You know, put him on, and then tell, you know. Because if you sign him for the vet minimum, you can sell it as, okay, this is a true competition between him and Kenny Pickett, because he's not coming in on a big money contract. Coming in on a vet minimum, that's a prove-it deal. So then you got to prove that you can be the starter. And it's a new system. Every quarterback will have to learn it.
And if Kenny
learns
Pickett
it the best, who performs the best?
Beats out Russell Wilson, then you can say, hey, you know what? We brought in Russell
and
Wilson.
We brought in a legit guy.
Dude won Super Bowls. Dude's,
you had pretty good numbers last year.
And you got to feel good about that. So, you know, that's not the worst idea in the world. No. I am not against bringing in Russell Wilson at this point. Mike,
you got to do something, you know.
Yeah.
You can't roll with Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph.
Again, though, 10-4 last year.
Yeah, I know.
They lost to the 49ers. They lost to the Houston Texans. The Jaguars in one division game against the Browns. I mean, they weren't great, but they weren't terrible.
They found ways to win as
they
a team.
They found ways to win.
But, you know, that 9-2 and one score games could easily flip to 2-9.
But the fact of the matter is they did find ways to win.
Yeah.
So the Jets believe that Mecole Hardman leaked game plans to opponents out of spite, Mike.
And it was what, against the Chiefs and someone else, two games they lost, or two games the Jets won, I mean.
Yeah.
I think that's just sour grapes.
There's just something about this Jets team anyway.
Yeah, because he was asked on a podcast, like, what was the difference between, you know, New York and Kansas City, and he talked about the culture in the locker room.
Right.
And how, you know, there was structure in Kansas City, and in New York it was, hey,
they don't know
let's
to,
do
dude.
Whatever. Aaron's here. We'll do whatever we want.
Right.
Then they traded McColl back to Kansas City, and he had a game-winning touchdown, and he said what he felt. And then you got the punter from the Jets going after Mecole Hardman. Then you got people saying, oh, he leaked stuff. Like,
maybe there's something there, though, Mike. You know what I mean? It's it's obviously coming up on a couple of different situations, and, you know, we could say that there's sour grapes in New York. But on the other hand, you know, this story does seem to be keeping – you know, keep it in the level, you know, it's head above water. Continue to follow this. I don't count it out yet. I don't know enough of the story, but I just thought it was interesting.
Like the two games where he supposedly leaked the game plan to those teams lost to the Jets.
Yeah.
So
the Bills offensive lineman, Deion Dawkins, Pro Bowler on the Jets. Another Jets tidbit here. Deion Dawkins says this: "I hate them, all of them, bro. These are a bunch of dudes that just want to sit around and take their pictures on Instagram." But that kind of falls into that, you know, this the Jets is just a disaster, the organization.
Yeah, yeah, it's a poorly run organization from top to bottom.
And people wonder why they haven't been to the Super Bowl since 1969.
And this is why. They go star chasing.
They
wasted that defense. You know, we talked about the defense for 2 years now of how good it was. You just need a quarterback. We thought Aaron Rodgers would help them, and you know, but then he started, "Oh, I want this guy brought in. I want this guy brought in." And none of those guys really panned out. Then he blows his Achilles out in what, the third snap?
Definition of the Pirates. Guys, mm-hmm. We got to move on. The Buccos. Paul Skeens, the other day, we didn't get to talk since the day that he pitched. Yeah. Paul Skeens retired the side in the first inning, which included two number one picks, two number one overall picks for the Orioles, while throwing 102 miles an hour. Yet, he's not ready, Mike.
He's not ready. He's going to, you know, toil away in the minors for a year and a half. He's going to blow out his elbow.
Pitching better than everybody so far. And let me expand this a little further. Henry Davis, red hot at the plate.
Yeah.
At one time over the weekend, he had 12 at-bats overall. He was batting .417, two home runs, half dozen RBIs, playing some catcher, playing better than basically everybody on the team. And he's another one. It's going to go straight down to the minors.
Yep. It makes zero sense. Like, and then there's talk about having a innings cap on Paul Skeens this year. Awesome. So he's only be able to pitch X amount of innings this year. And they're going to waste him down in the minors. And then he'll come up in the pros, pitch, you know, five games and be done for the year.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous the way they run things. And it's ridiculous because I was telling Derp the other day, I said, it's tough being a Pirate because not only you're competing against the, you know, the competition, and it's hard being a professional anything when you're an athlete, but now you're up against your organization.
Yeah.
You have to somehow, you know, beat them just to prove that you should be. It's truly fascinating what goes on in that Pirates organization.
And the fans wonder why free agents don't want to come here.
Right?
It's ran poorly from top to bottom.
Speaking of free agents, Aroldis Chapman, you know, we bring him over. He was on the World Series winning Texas Rangers.
How did he do?
But not only that, guys, listen to this. Aroldis Chapman has been on two teams that ended two of the longest World Series droughts in MLB history. When the Cubs won it in 16, was 108 years. When the Rangers won it in last year. 62 years. So here's the Pittsburgh Pirates, 44 years. Something tells me the buck stops here.
Aroldis Chapman, baby.
No pun intended.
He's breaking the curse.
But he's broke it twice. So
I think the Pirates might break him.
That's what I'm saying.
That's not supposed to happen.
The Pirates are the worst team ever. They got to be.
Yeah, he'll be pitching lights out, and then he's going to need Tommy John surgery. I don't wish it upon him. I'm just saying this is how it goes for the Pirates organization.
170 years worth of curses broken by Aroldis Chapman. He will get broke by the Pittsburgh Pirates.
We will break him. Yeah.
I promise you.
Yeah. Because that's just how it rolls here in Pittsburgh with the Pirates, baby.
Pitt Panthers move up five spots in the NET rankings after the win over Boston College over the weekend. Pitt wins 90-65. Only two games left on their schedule. They play Florida State tomorrow at home. And then on Saturday, they host NC State. So I know P, that's his team, NC State. But these are two winnable games. these guys got to win this, maybe get into the, you know, once they start the ACC tournament, win a game or two, I think they'll be all right. But they just can't go out and lay an egg. I think a 90-65 win over Boston College was a good start.
Yeah. Don't they have a better rating now than they did last year when they made the turn?
Yeah, they were in the 60s when they got in there. Yeah. 34 now.
Yeah. Hopefully they can make it in.
Yeah, I think they'll get in. Because what will they do when they get in, you know?
Yeah.
The Penguins. Penguins take another loss. Now, these guys are 0-3. Three losses in a row.
Yeah.
Just last week we were talking about their
winning streak. I was predicting a sweep after their one good showing.
They're right now, they're 27-24-8. They lose to the Oilers 6-1. Evgeny Malkin scores the only goal for the Penguins. Now loser of three straight. They lost 2-0 to the Kraken on Thursday. They lost 4-3 to the Calgary Flames on Saturday. And again, 6-1 yesterday for the Oilers. They'll be back at it on tomorrow. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock against the Columbus Blue Jackets Derby, who are 20-30-10 coming into Pittsburgh. So
they're going to lose that one.
It should be a winnable game, but they'll lose.
They'll lose. This team needs blown up. Blown up.
For sure.
Gensel gone. Rust gone. Peterson, I hate to see him go because he's their best defensive defenseman. Trade him. Anyone who has a no trade or limited no trade movement clause, find out what teams they can be traded to. Make a trade. Stuff needs to happen. You're not trading your core three, and you're not trading Carlson because of their contracts. You can't trade them with all their no trades, no movement clause. Anyone else who's available to be traded that you can get something, do it. Do it. We're at that time. I'm ready for another early 2000 run of who the hell's this guy? Who the hell's that guy? I'm here for it. I need it. The team needs it. It needs reset.
Jeff Carter did reach his 1300 game the other day, Mike. Jeff Carter, there's a name that isn't going anywhere.
Oh, God, no. Unfortunately, I think this is his last year, though, thankfully. Oh,
thank goodness.
Hextall ruined this team, my God.
I know he did.
You're looking at all the players that he traded away and then the players that he signed. Or Jared McCann's tearing it up. But, yeah, we got Jeff Carter.
High school hoops. The Whippeal playoff championships did go down this weekend from right here in Beaver County, guys. The Aliquippa Quips beat Greensburg Central Catholic 69-32. They are your 2A Whippeal champions in high school hoops. And in Lincoln Park, of course, they are your 4A Whippeal champions. Now they beat Hampton 56-46. They both move on to the state playoffs next, guys. So let's see if they can bring home some state gold.
Aliquippa, 2A in basketball, but, you know, ACC in football.
Yeah, right.
Make it make sense.
Well, don't speak too soon. They'll probably be throwing them. They'll be moving them up in basketball next year. So, well, you know, if they win this championship.
Oh, yeah. They'll be, quad A next year in basketball.
Mike, why don't you go and tell everybody about the website?
The2DoneYinjers.com. Over there, we got all of our social media links. We got our merch store. We got the blog. It's all there at 2DoneYinjers. Once again, the combine is over. Free agency starts. So there'll be another mock draft coming up here this week over at the blog.
When's the free agency? Like the 11th?
Free agency is the 14th at 4 o'clock. O'clock.
Highly anticipated. I can't wait for that.
I can't wait. Legal tampering period starts pretty soon, too.
A lot to talk about. And, you know, hopefully maybe we'll see who the Steelers could bring in, who we lose. Things will be happening. So here in another, I don't know what's today, guys, the fourth, another 10 days, another week and a half, will be in full swing. And then the draft won't be long after that.
Yeah, free agency is going to predict where we go in the draft.
Let's see. What else? Before we get into this trivia. I do want to thank the other day because we didn't get an opportunity to. On Thursday of last week, I want to thank Brian Pasquale for coming on the show. It was really great having him on. Always great talking to him. Of course, Brian Pasquale is the host of One Man's Opinion on Sports with Brian Pasquale at 99.3 FM WBVP right here, Beaver County Radio. Check him out. He's on every Wednesday, 5 o'clock p.m. All right, guys. So this is the trivia question of the day. This is going to have to do with this weekend's combine. So how much you paid attention this weekend is going to go a long way in today's trivia question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Derpy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Which quarterback ran the fastest 40 this weekend at the NFL Combine? Which quarterback ran the fastest 40 this weekend at the NFL Combine is the question, everybody. Take a minute to mull that over. We're live. 5 days a week, everybody, right here from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And the show that we do live every day, just in case you missed it, we do put it up at 8 o'clock p.m. over on Spotify in podcast form. You can go check that out at any time. Go check it out. All right, guys. So the question of the day is this. This is a combine question from this past weekend, the NFL Combine, of course. Which quarterback ran the fastest 40 time this weekend at the NFL Combine? Derpy, I'm going to start with you. Who do you think it was?
Michael Pratt.
Michael Pratt. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
All right. Put lock Derpy in place for Michael Pratt. For the quarterback that ran the fastest 40 time this weekend. Mike, I'm going to ask you the same question. Which quarterback ran the fastest 40 time this weekend at the NFL Combine?
Your favorite quarterback, Hartman.
Scott Hartman. Is this your final answer?
Or whatever his first name is.
Sam Hartman.
Yeah, Hartman.
All right, I'm going to lock Mike in place. All right, which quarterback ran the fastest 40 this weekend at the NFL Combine? Mike says Hartman. The answer to this, guys, Keaton Slovis.
Who?
Keaton Slovis, the Pitt quarterback.
That's right.
The BYU quarterback, former Pitt quarterback, was in fact the fastest running quarterback by 40 this week in the NFL.
I forgot. He ran too, because I knew Hartman had to run back to back 40s because not many quarterbacks ran.
Yeah.
Book him. He's a Steeler.
Okay. Oh, dude. Don't even play Derpy. It's not even funny.
Derpy, that's not right.
You know how I'm always against you muting Derpy?
That one
you're really you're really pushing your buttons, Derpy. What's that?
I didn't say nothing.
What'd you say?
I didn't say nothing. I was just laughing.
Oh, you didn't say nothing about Slovis? Oh.
What'd you say, Dirt? You said Slovis is the best?
But Hartman did very well. But yeah, Slovis, there you go, guys. He was the fastest quarterback, believe it or not, in the NFL Combine. Mike, you got anything before we get ready to take off?
Yeah. Paul Heyman. Selected the WWE Hall of Fame.
All right. There you
go. The wise man, Paul Heyman.
Derpy, anything for you?
Let's go Pens, even though it's collapsing.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of faith in this year's team. I was hoping that it was going to be better than it has been. You go out and get Eric Carlson, and things don't seem to be better. So, I don't know. As Mike said, this might just be a thing where you just got to tear this team apart and build it back up again. You only got these old guys for a couple more years, I can only imagine. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the team brings 5 years from now. It's kind of where I'm kind of, at the end of the day, you want these guys to be able to maybe go out on a, ride off into the sunset on their horse. But you just don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, if you don't think that that's realistic, then the next thing you're looking for is the rebuild, which would be beyond these guys. So, I don't know. If they can do it, I want to see them do it. If they can't, I don't know. I guess about 5 years, we'll start learning what it's like to rebuild.
It's going to be a rough time.
I do want to say thank you, everybody, for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you, as always. We wouldn't do it without you. Also on the board, we do appreciate everybody. Ralph, P, guys, always keep it interesting. Ralph says Steelers drafting Slovis in the third round.
If Kevin Colbert was still GM, yeah, it would happen.
I think the bad thing is, I think Derpy really wants to happen.
I think he does.
You know what? He was so bad. It was hard watching him from week to week. But the bad part, the thing was, he was better than the guy that he came in. Yeah, you know what I mean? The guy he was replacing. So they got all kind of issues up there in Oakland. Anything else, Mike? Anything before we go before we get ready to roll,
I got
brother.
nothing. I'm just counting down now till the free agency, baby. I'm pumped. I'm excited.
We got 10 days, guys.
10 days.
10 days. Derpy, anything else? Speak now. Forever hold your peace.
Bucko fever.
All right. Pirates are back at it today. I believe they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Rays. I'm sorry about that. They do. They play the Tampa Bay Rays at 105. Check out the Pirates today. Penguins will be back in action tomorrow night. And Pitt will also be back in action tomorrow as well. So we will be back tomorrow at the same time to do this all again. We will talk about those and other things. For Derpy, Mike in the Steeler Central Mobile Studio, myself, in the Two Dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No. Boom!